Okay, welcome back, everybody. It's time for Off the Hook Overtime, where we all continue our conversation, hopefully. Welcome back, Alex, Rob, Gila, and Kyle.
Over here.
Yeah. You know, we only got to mention it for a second, but that audio project, it's been months in the making. And boy, there's a lot of material out there that we have either not aired or aired and forgotten about. It's been a lot of fun putting it together. I look forward to actually being able to share it. Some of it, and as we say on the website, some of it is really, really bad. I believe showing everything, warts and all, within some boundaries of taste.
It's true. I think you have to put it in context, right?
Yeah, well, when I first started doing radio back in the late 1970s at my college station, I wasn't very good at it. And, you know, nobody is very good at what they start doing. So I'm glad that I saved that, and I'm able to share some of the worst newscast ever to have aired over an FM frequency in this country. There are other things, too. There are all kinds of road trips, whether it's spying on the Clemson football team or driving into the Midwest or going up to a place known as Frobisher Bay, in Baffin Island in the Northwest Territories, which now, of course, is Iqaluit in Nunavut, also on Baffin Island. All sorts of interviews from there, and basically just a whole lot of different things involving radio of one sort or another from different radio stations. So I hope people find it interesting. Again, the website, 2600.com/audio-segments. Right now, you'll just see an intro over there describing what's coming, but starting tomorrow you'll start seeing daily releases. Some of them will be only a couple minutes, some of them will be a few hours. You never know what might be there. Well, yeah, you'll know, but I, you know, right now it's nothing, but it will be something starting tomorrow. Yes, Alex.
I'm really curious about this and how it came to be, as well as how are these things going to be? I guess the frequency is going to be daily. You're going to release these daily, but are they going to have some kind of curation with them, or are we going to have to figure out what the hell it was you were up to?
Well, if you mean, will there be words attached to it explaining what the release is? Yes, every day there'll be a new page. We have a plan with our website where we can have unlimited numbers of pages, and every day we will release another page. And what we figured we'd do is put the date on that page and list it that way by date. These are all unique ideas. We've never tried them before, and, you know, we don't know. And then each day we'll release something else, and then the next day we're going to release something different with a different date, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. And you can also access previous dates. You can stream, you can download. I believe there's going to be an RSS feed, which other greater minds than myself will be setting up. But yeah, it'll be fun. I'm starting tomorrow. I don't know what time. Don't ask me what time. I have no idea what time. Probably in the afternoon sometime. And it'll be there, you know, forever. So you don't have to worry about missing it.
Were there any really surprising discoveries?
Yes.
When you were going through this archive?
Yes.
Do you want to release any of that surprising information now, or you want us to wait?
I forgot that I interviewed the Ramones. How about that?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
Things like that. Yeah, there's all sorts of when you accumulate audio, and there's a lot of audio that I've lost too. I really wish I could get back. For instance, once I interviewed the manager of the Clash in Asbury Park, and no clue where that went. There's no copy of it anywhere. Maybe he's got a copy of it. That's the only thing I can think of. So there are some things that I regret, but we also have so many other things that are good, that are cool, that's why it's important to keep archives, whether it's pictures, writing, audio, video. Hold on to your stuff. Even if you think it's terrible, hold on to it, because you'll learn something from it someday. And maybe somebody else will learn something from it, you know, or it can serve as a warning. Who knows? Anyway, our phone number is 802-321-4225, 802 being the area code of Vermont, which we are not in. 321 is the exchange, 4225 spells the word hack, so it's a pretty cool phone number, 802-321-HACK. Call us up and share whatever is on your mind. We would like to talk to you as well. We're not able to take phone calls on the radio just as of yet because we're not in the studio and we have no control over the kill button. The kill button meaning if somebody says a bad word, we have to hit that button because we're in delay. But on the internet, nobody cares, so people can say these words. But we'd rather you didn't. All right, we have a phone call? All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's been such a long time since I called you guys on BAI, man. I think this is pretty cool, man. You know, YouTube came out in 2006, and it's just come such a long way, even though, you know, it's under a lot of scrutiny, Google, you know, and the shady stuff they do. But I think it's wonderful. I love YouTube. And I think every BAI host should do what you guys do. They should have a podcast on the low. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's brilliant, man.
Well, thank you, thank you for that. It's good to know that our listeners are able to follow us over onto this platform. And, okay, I'm sorry, we're having some audio issues, so I'm not sure if we fixed them.
Yeah.
Okay, bear with us for a second while Kyle figures out what's going on here. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Bronx, Parkchester.
Wow.
Yeah, Parkchester, you know, not far from Castle Hill and Soundview. I live in the condos in Parkchester. But I've had an issue, man, for like the past 10 years.
What issue have you had?
It's these computers, man. with the sound recording feature. Now my first ever computer was a Toshiba 425 CDS back in 95, and I loved that thing so much, man. I had it when I was in college, and all those computers back then, you know, they had the sound recorder app, and you can record directly into the hard drive. Fast forward to 2001, I upgraded. I got some desktop from Fingerhut. You know, Fingerhut, we used to get, you know, the catalogs in the mail all the time.
Right.
And, you know, my stepmom ordered one for me that had, we had Windows 2000 and, you know, still had the sound recorder. Upgraded again in 2005. I got me a Microtel. I think that was when Windows XP was out. And you were still able to record sound internally. And I didn't get another computer till 2011. And I think the computers now, you're not able to record sound internally. You have to use that damn microphone.
Right.
Even with all the phones now, all the apps, because I'm trying to find an app to, like, record sound internally, and they're all microphones. Sound recorders. So I'm like, I think the reason why they stopped that was because of, like, you know, people like downloading music and selling them, like with Napster and all that stuff. I think that's the reason why.
It might be. But, you know, sometimes also technology evolves to a point where it becomes harder to use than it should be. For instance, you know, try recording a TV program. You know, you can't just hit record on your TV. You have to subscribe to a service. You have to have a remote DVR. There's all sorts of things that have become difficult that used to be, you know, just a button you hit. That's a pet peeve of mine, and I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I just want to be able to, you know, because I'm trying to, like, you know, make music and stuff, because I've been like into music for like so long, and I just got Magic software. I've been using that for about 15 years.
Yeah,
Audio Cleaning Lab, and I just recently got Magic's Music Maker. And the Samplitude Studio. So it's something that I want to do for a long time. I kept putting it off because of my schedule,
right?
My work schedule. So I finally made time, you know, for this hobby I have. But I just need something that I can record directly into the hard drive. I don't want to record using the sound recorder and getting, like, outside noise.
Right. Okay. So outline your issue, what it is you're looking for, and I'm sure either between us or our listeners, we'll be able to help. And by the way, folks, we're aware that there was an audio issue with this call. The archive version of this will include full audio,
so you'll be able to hear
What's I don't know why my voice changed all of a sudden. We didn't even touch anything.
Oh, the call was dropped. Can you turn that down?
The call was dropped?
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Caller, are you still there?
No, he's not.
Okay. I guess he's going to listen off. Okay. So you want to help explain what's going on?
Oh, no. We just lost some of the monitor. I was monitoring some of the channels before and during setup, so I had
You messed something up. Yeah. Okay.
I was trying to make things better, and I made them worse.
Which is
as
exactly
usual.
What we're talking about right now. People trying to make things better, and they make things worse. That's why we have software that can't do certain things.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, okay. And that's how they act as well. Like they're doing you a favor by giving you something that cripples you. but anyway, can we help this guy? Alex, I know you had something you wanted to say. But you got to speak,
yeah.
Alex. Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know exactly what the caller's issue was because we had the audio issue, but he mentioned recording internal sounds, and I think what he means is sounds that are probably flowing through the computer. He wants to record them perhaps for sampling or something like that. A long time ago, I used to use a program called Replay Music made by a company called Applian, Applian. And I think it still exists. I'm pretty sure it does. And he may be able to record different streams of data that are sound going through his particular computer.
Oh, that's a nice sound. Thank you for that.
Sounds. I have to. Whoops, sorry.
Let me introduce you to a four-letter word, Alex. Mute. You use it on yourself a lot. Why don't you use it on your damn phone?
I just want to interrupt.
Let Kyle interrupt for a second.
I just want to interrupt. We have another call on the line. And okay. I think to answer that caller, they would just need like a good quality USB audio interface so that you can get line level audio. And then if you're not comfortable recording directly to your machine, maybe some kind of like a solid state or SD card, like a flash audio recorder. A lot of reporters use those, and field recording artists find those great because then you can be portable and maybe get some ambiance as well as whatever you're trying to record. But best of luck with your endeavors.
Yes, let's take this other call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook, Off the Overtime.
Go ahead. Hey, I've got the answer for the gentleman who was looking for a program to record audio directly on the hard drive.
Wow, that was fast. Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, there are two programs made by the same company. I've used them for years, called Total Recorder and TotalRecorder.pro. The Pro has a whole bunch of other features, but if he just wants a simple program to record audio in different formats directly, either from an external source, line in, or direct the digital from a digital source, a stream directly onto the hard drive without the intervention of an external microphone. Total Recorder or TotalRecorder.pro, made by a company called HighCriteria.com, or you could go to TotalRecorder.com. I think the Pro version is like $17 or $20, and the regular version is like $11 or $12, something like that. Very reasonable. You get it for life. If you lose your license key, you can just email them and get it again and so on. They're very good that way, so I highly recommend it.
All right. Well, thanks. That sounds very helpful, and I think a lot of people will benefit from that.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Good enough.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. So the living proof that not only are BAI listeners the most helpful, but BAI Overtime, Off the Hook Overtime listeners also have the answer when we need it. Great. Thank you for that. And hopefully that helps the first caller, who you will be able to hear on our website. We'll fix the audio when we post the archive. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our telephone number. Anyone else have anything they wish to share before we get our next call?
Well,
if you're into recording audio that's playing on your computer, you know, Audacity is very good, but you know, versions prior to when they messed it up at the 3.x version, so version 2.something of Audacity should be fine.
Did we mention that, the Audacity issue? Did we talk about that?
We have not mentioned the Audacity issue
yet. Say what you're
going
to say, and then we'll get into that. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, pushing open source as I love to do, you know, you can record stuff with Audacity. You can also record stuff with OBS, which is Open Broadcaster Software. They have OBS Studio. It's mainly intended for video, but you can also record basically any audio that's playing on your computer with it. It's a very powerful piece of software. It can be tough to get into and start using, but once you get into it and get comfortable with it, it's really, really powerful.
Hey, their auto setup is outstanding. It's phenomenal. So shout out to OBS. They are doing marvelous things.
Okay, so who wants to talk about Audacity and what happened?
Oh boy.
keep it clean, well, Rob. Keep it clean.
Okay. Yeah, keep it clean because you know I don't want to upset any goddamn. Anyway.
Oh my god.
The Audacity is the name of a piece of open source software which has been the standard open recording and editing software out there for audio. Very powerful, wonderful software. I use it for so many things, audiobooks, podcasts, so many, you know, voiceovers, all these things that I do. And a company called Muse Group bought the rights to the domain and the current version of the software. They basically own it now and are taking it forward in a more closed manner, messing with the open source license of it, collecting information on the users, making all the mistakes that commercial software makes because they're basically taking Audacity in that direction, breaking the GPL, which is its own thing. So because Audacity is open source, people can take versions from before it was messed up and fork the project, which means basically clone everything that's going on and go forward in a different direction. And there are a lot of projects doing that. One of them is Tenacity, which is seeking to reinvent Audacity as a still completely free and free of the trackingware, pollution.
Now these forks are showing up on GitHub, right?
Yes.
I hear they're being taken down though. Is that accurate?
I hadn't heard that, but like I wouldn't doubt it. But like the whole point of GitHub and the way it works and sites like GitHub. Is that anybody can clone it because they're allowed to because you're publishing open source.
Right.
So you know the integrity of the license is maintained because when you clone a project, you're also keeping the information of all the people who contributed the code to it that you're cloning, and you can move on forward from there in any direction you like. You know, a company can do this, an individual can do this. It's very, very powerful. The only real setback now. For the open source community is that there are so many forks out there of Audacity because the community is a large part of the community is in an uproar over this that nobody knows which of these forks is going to get the support, the community around it that Audacity had. So it's now kind of a waiting game to see like who manages to get together a powerful enough Audacity fork project going with the support, with the community behind it, that it can keep going as a living thing of its own, rather than just being stuck in time, as it were. But it's an example of a massive company, dipping their hands into open source and basically using it in all the wrong ways, and you know, way against the spirit of what open source is all about. And a lot of people are very angry. I feel like I've been betrayed by an old friend because I've been using Audacity for maybe 20 years now.
The only good I think is that this shows the resilience of these kinds of projects because it can be reformed in this way. I know, mm-hmm. In contrast, some phenomenal transcoding software that was privately held and then just disappeared. Nobody could do anything about it. Your keys stopped working, like your mm-hmm. copies of them stopped working. And I enjoyed using it for video stuff and authoring and that kind of thing. But there was no recourse because it wasn't created under one of these kinds of GPL rich project constructive styles, you know, of implementing the lifecycle.
No, this is a great demonstration of what the open source community is capable of. So, what happens with Audacity in the future? I think we'll reflect that, and let's see how it plays out. Fascinating.
And this sort of thing has happened before in open source with OpenOffice. Used to be a very popular open source office suite, an alternative to things like Microsoft Office.
Right.
And a company got hold of that, decided to mess around with the spirit of what open source is about, and it very quickly forked. And now the big open source one out there is LibreOffice, which branched off and forked from that. This can be done. It's happened before. It'll happen again. It's just it happened to a piece of software that means a great deal to many people.
These companies that do this, do they benefit? Do they ever win when they do something which I consider to be kind of stupid?
It's hard to gauge, and I think there's many examples of where this has failed.
Uh-huh.
Lots of times they come in, they didn't have the vision, they didn't have maybe some of the foundational staff that really knew technically how to move as maybe the market moved. I think of Real Player, like when formats were changing so rapidly that like reiterating the company actually may have missed a moment for it to really seize on whatever technology they had, or they'll try to monetize it maybe too quickly and have like many failed public offerings and just really get way over their ambition gets way ahead of them, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So it's I don't know. There's many different examples of this, but there have been situations where sometimes a private holding has done a decent job of it, I think, as well, but maintained the openness of the software. In other words, like sort of a private project. There's lots of different ways to do it, I think. So yeah. I'm thinking of things like Blender, which is a 3D rendering package that's more or less free but incredibly powerful.
Yeah, I think there's two approaches. If you're dealing with a corporate environment where people don't really do a lot of configuration and follow the rules, okay, you go, you have it closed and you set it up, you know, for your corporate profits that way. But when it's individuals, I think you need to have things as open and configurable as possible. And if you go any other route, it's going to backfire on you. So if that's your clientele, if your clientele are actual individual people, you want them to be able to configure the software to work for their needs, which won't necessarily be the same as someone else's needs. And I can't count the number of times where I've been frustrated by a piece of software that makes decisions for me that are the wrong decisions. You know, I don't want to be able to, you know, just as an example, I was playing around with one of these Amazon Show devices, the ones it's like an Alexa with a screen. And, you know, it worked good. It worked, you know, it was fine. I was setting it up for a relative to display family pictures. You know, this is somebody who doesn't have use of their hands. And it just was going to be a very pleasant thing to have, able to play music and show family pictures. And then somebody at Amazon decided to change it so that they're going to put a big fat ad in the middle telling you how to use it. And then they were going to put a clock over the a quarter of the image. And then they were going to make the display time a maximum of 8 seconds or 10 seconds or something crazy like that, when it had been 30 or 60 seconds before, which was better for this person. So it became useless. It became completely useless because somebody in engineering or software development made a decision for everybody. And I vowed never to buy one of these Amazon Show devices again, because if you look, just look at feedback, you will see hundreds of people complaining about the very things I'm talking about. Silence from Amazon. They're not changing anything because marketing tells them this will work and we're just going to keep it this way and screw the customers. They already bought it. So what are we going to do?
Imagine getting an appliance that, you know, on one setting, you know, cooks your toast or your, you know, something just fine. And the next day, that same setting, you know, starts a fire or causes, you know, some other kind of terrible result that's unexpected. And you keep changing that every day. You can't ever count on it for something.
Right.
You know, since it's based on some kind of general computer or microcontroller or, you know, very much a process, central processing system, you know, it's infinitely configurable.
Of course.
It's just, it's very much a laziness thing and a lack of sort of loyalty once the product's out the door.
A lack of caring about your customer. You know, I know that I can make that clock smaller. I can make that clock disappear. It's possible. They have restricted it. They've made it impossible for that to happen. There are so many examples of software that is unreasonably restricted, where they make the decision for you. No, you can't do this. Why? Because we said so. And that's not how you build loyalty. That's not how people will stick with your software through thick and thin. That's how they'll trash you online and go somewhere else at the first opportunity.
And that's why it's always such a fiasco when this attitude is applied by big companies throwing lots of money at things in the open source world, which they don't understand. They see a thing that's popular, that works for a lot of people, that is celebrated, and they think, well, what if that was ours? What if we could somehow obtain that and then make it work for us? Mm-hmm. And completely antithetical to everything that is the open source spirit behind putting that thing out there, behind keeping it working for everybody. We've seen this happen with Audacity now. We've seen it happen with so many things, hardware, software, companies in like the tech sector particularly. And it's really exhausting to keep up with it.
Absolutely. As long as I'm talking about Amazon, I've got a story here, which is kind of interesting, a little shocking. Amazon has received FCC approval to use motion sensing radar sensors in a product designed to monitor your movement while you sleep. Yeah. The FCC said Amazon, and this is a quote, plans to use the radar's capability of, I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button, of capturing motion in a three-dimensional space to enable contactless sleep tracing functionalities in a non-mobile device that requires external power to function. If that sounds familiar, it's probably because Google uses similar technology in the second generation Nest Hub. And the FCC noted that Amazon's device would operate at identical power levels and technical parameters as those granted to Google in a 2018 waiver order. So I'm learning a couple of things here. I'm learning that Amazon is being given permission, and I've learned that Google already has permission. The Google Nest Hub's ability to monitor your sleep via radar sensors informed the FCC's decision to grant Amazon's request for a nearly identical waiver. The commission said that treating Amazon's request in a similar fashion to our grant of the Google waiver will benefit the American public by fostering added competition. Okay, this isn't about competition. This is about watching me while I sleep. When did this become a good idea? Why are these devices watching us while we sleep?
Can we get a waiver?
What, you want to watch people while they sleep?
I just want the waiver to be able to do it, yeah.
It's creepy. I mean, what's with these companies? This is, it's crazy. Amazon said in their request they would also use the radar sensors to offer significant benefits to consumers with mobility, speech, or tactile impairments by allowing them to engage with a device and control its features through simple gestures and movements instead of requiring them to use touch-based controls, which is kind of exactly what I was talking about before, but I don't see how spying on somebody when they're asleep adds to this in any way. Alex?
Well, look, I mean, let's put it into perspective, right? I mean, it sounds crazy to introduce radar sensors into your home, right? I mean, it just sounds like it may not be a good idea, right? Putting radar sensors in your bedroom. I mean, there's something about radar and home that just seems incongruous.
Yeah.
However, if you think about what we've already done, this is like the least of our worries. Because these Alexa devices already have implanted microphones in our home. I think that's worse than radar sensors watching me when I sleep. Having a microphone on when I'm awake seems actually a hell of a lot worse. Or putting all of these cameras on our front doors that are connected to Amazon services or around our house or in our house. You know, all of these connected devices that ping back, I think, yeah, you know, think let's have a good think about whether or not this is a good idea.
But Alex, when we have a camera, yeah. We know there's a camera there. We've put it there. You know, it's a camera. We know what cameras do. And the devices, technically they're wake words. They're not supposed to, monitoring. Well, they monitor. They listen for the wake word, but they're not supposed to be saving what goes on. And if there's abuse on that, we certainly should be talking about that as well. But this seems really intrusive.
I think it's less intrusive than having something continually listen and record, even in some kind of buffered mode. The memory overwrites itself, listening for me to say a magic word. you know, that's creepier to me than having, you know, radar
okay,
watching.
But you bought the device knowing it did that. You know, you bought the device knowing that's how to activate it. So it's kind of on you if you have one. You can't really be shocked that it's listening.
Look, yeah, of course. From a privacy perspective and in a legal perspective, I mean, obtaining consent of the user to use this thing is going to be pretty important. For Amazon. So if this is a new feature that they're enabling based on technology that's built into the device, they're going to update their privacy policies and make this really goddamn clear, especially given, you know, there's these more and more laws about collecting biometric data about people. And so this could very easily fall afoul of that. But, I mean, I think we're already doing way too much with respect to the introduction of unneeded technology in our homes.
And I think they need to do a much better job of actually implementing it. And if they're sincere about accessibility and making these things work for different scenarios than the average person, just scolding the average person about how they sleep, I think that there may be a future there. But if it's just being like thrown at a lot of these devices wholesale and, you know, giving people no control or granularity of control, specifically with accessibility stuff, because there are different scenarios. You got to customize right. it for whomever's going to be using it in whatever way is best for them to actually use it. And it's not there yet. And they keep promising and selling devices, but it's not actually functional in the ways that they're saying it will be. So this, just including the feature and then not actually making it work for people, or if it's just a nuisance, like, oh, you're sleeping this way,
well,
and
gonna,
that's it.
They're going to scold you?
Well, that's
you,
how
you,
I look at it.
You're sleeping wrong? Is that
that's
what
how
gonna...
I think. That's wow. why I think, like, this is not desirable to anybody. Like, who's asking for this? Like, am I having such a trouble sleeping? Okay, maybe there's conditions. There's things that you want to look for in sleep studies. I get that there is a market for
I
that,
figured,
but they're not sincerely implementing the health
I figured
and configurability.
It would just be so that they would know when to display ads because, oh, he's awake now. Okay, now we can, you know, show him a Coke ad.
That's what it amounts to, though. Uh-huh. And then, but it's being sold and billed as something so much more than it actually is.
Well,
I don't know. Does anybody else see
what
that?
What annoys me is that they're basically selling it as accessibility and inclusiveness. When you see how they act when you say, hey, this isn't working for me, how do I fix it? And instead, they give you the middle finger and say, you know, that's how it is. Deal with it. You already bought it. Aguila.
Okay, so I find it actually kind of terrifying, and it's interesting. We have multiple Alexa devices in our small home.
Don't say
so
the
have,
word. Don't say the word. They wake
that's
up.
That's not our wake word.
Oh, well, it's our wake word, and you just woke it up.
Well, everybody listening to
now
it,
they yeah. know.
Go on. We're listening, yes.
Buy a dollhouse. but I will also, I wear a step tracker, and I do not use the sleep tracking capabilities on my step tracker because that scares me enough. You know, I don't want it watching me all the time. But at the same time, I can also see how they could turn on other features based on the creepy radar watching you in your house. For example, mm-hmm. if you are a sleepwalker,
do those still exist? Are there still sleepwalkers?
They're valid.
I thought that was in the 1950s, and they all sort of stopped.
People sleepwalk all over the place, especially, you know, stress levels. People, their circadian rhythms are disrupted by never leaving their homes.
Next time any of you see a sleepwalker, call me. I will drive because I want to see this. I really want to see this. I know I shouldn't make fun, but I really want to see a sleepwalker.
We'll find a sleepwalker. But I like where you're going with this.
So imagine you're... Or imagine a person is a sleepwalker and they have an alarm system in their home. They're up, they're moving around their home, and, you know, the Google Nest Hub or whatever can sense that and send a notification to the motion detectors not to set off the alarm because someone's sleepwalking in the house. I'm not saying it's a great plan, but I'm just saying there are other... You know, maybe
Hang
they're
on.
Watching you and you don't sleep.
Shouldn't they? Isn't that exactly the time when they should make an alarm when someone might fall down the stairs or something? You know, it's kind of a dangerous situation.
Right. But if you're walking around, like, okay, when we were kids, my sister was sleepwalking.
Your sister was sleepwalking? You know a sleepwalker firsthand. Wow, I didn't know that.
This actually happened while I was in the hospital. She was sleepwalking while I was in the hospital.
Wow.
And she apparently got up out of her bed, got into the kitchen, and made herself a snack
while sleepwalking.
While sleepwalking.
Just like Ed Norton on The Honeymooners. He did exactly that.
So, you know, you might want to turn off the motion detectors in the house while the sleepwalking is happening.
Okay. Well, in that situation, yes. But there are other situations, you know. Let's say you had a spiral staircase in your house. You know, it might not be the best place to sleepwalk.
The whole thing is, sleepwalking, I think spiral staircases are just a bad idea in general, because if you have to carry things up and down the stairs, it's very bad.
I agree. I've always been against them.
Pure vanity.
Clearly, I don't know a lot about sleepwalking, and I'm sorry about that. I had no idea it was a real thing, other than, you know, TV plot lines and things like that, but I'm fascinated by it. I wonder if I've ever done it myself. I don't think I have. But how do you know? Did your sister know?
Record yourself in your sleep.
But did your sister know she sleepwalked?
She was discovered in the kitchen.
Okay, but she wouldn't have known herself, right? She would have.
No, she was told the next morning because you don't remember it.
Okay,
but if you had, you know, creepy radar waves watching you from your internet-enabled device, then you would know. Does it bother me that Amazon would know I was sleepwalking before I did? Yes.
Yeah, I want to know first before Amazon knows. Like sleep driving, is that a thing? I mean, if you could make a snack while being asleep, why couldn't you drive a car while you're asleep?
People do. They're, what is it? Ambien? People okay. have been sleep
that's
driving.
Not what I, that's not what I mean, but yeah, okay.
And sleep eating. Yeah, mm-hmm. People do all sorts of things that they're not aware of.
Uh-huh. Rob, go ahead.
The thing about this is, like, I could see the use for technology like this. I could see, you know, movement detecting hardware, software, everything being useful for things like accessibility. I really question whether a company that makes its money selling you things should be the ones utilizing this technology in their devices that they sell you, because, you know, your movements are going to be used to sell you things just as much as, you know, your Google searches inform what they try and sell you. Mm-hmm. And your, you know, searches on Amazon, you look for something on Amazon and you're offered chances to buy more of those forever after. And it's like, no, I don't need three couches in my small home. But the whole thing is like, yeah, Amazon is a company that sells things to you. Google is a company that sells your eyeballs based on your profiles it builds up on you. And, you know, what are they doing with this information? I want to see some open source implementations of things like this. I want to see something, you know, on Hackaday.io or whatever that I could put together myself out of a Raspberry Pi and learn about my own sleep patterns. But I don't want Amazon to do it for me.
I think you raise a very good point in that these companies are developing technology, Amazon and Google, but they shouldn't be the ones selling it and using it. Develop the technology and then other organizations can use that technology to provide services, but having it all wrapped up into this one massive entity, that's scary, and that can it's just ripe for abuse. Alex?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know if I entirely agree with this, you know, communist viewpoint of ownership of source code.
It's called development. You develop an idea and then you sell it. How is that
licensing
communist?
Too? Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of things.
I'm joking. I'm being facetious. Of course, you know, there's problems with it. But I wanted to go back to the, you know, this radar monitoring of your sleep patterns as well. I mean, if you've got radar monitoring your bed, I mean, it's going to pick up, in addition to sleepwalking and sleep patterns and whatnot, other activities that happen on your bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sexual intercourse, right? It's definitely going to pick that up. It's going to have a distinct fingerprint, I'm sure. And I mean, look, I know we're only talking about 3 or 4 minutes of motion data here for everybody, but I think, you know, look, the frequency, the duration, and all of these other characteristics of the activity that the radar could reveal seem really problematic to me.
Yeah, and I can't imagine the ads that would be waiting for you in the morning, too. You know, I don't even want to venture a guess, but it's intrusive.
About the majority, of course, would be to guilt you into how you are inadequate, and they have all the right things to sell you.
Okay, there's
that.
That's one thing, but there's many, many roads you can go down, but it's intrusive.
But if they're going to try to spin this as, you know, a positive thing, we're doing this to help you. And now I'm thinking about Amazon having this information. And if they see, you know, if they're recording that kind of activity and they're seeing multiple different people coming in and out of your house, mm-hmm. if they're seeing a lot of different faces, are they going to be like, oh, here are, you know, we're going to serve you an ad for prophylactics and STD testing? Like, it's an excellent question of where it's going to end, you know, and if they're going to track, like, when you're getting out of bed in the morning, are they going to then tell your smart home to turn on the coffee maker? Like,
right.
What's the point, I think, that, where's the end point? And why are we also trying to say, oh, you saw me holding a cake, and it's your birthday, and of course it's a cake for you, happy birthday.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. I get annoyed when insurance companies wish me happy birthday. How dare you? Leave me alone. You're not a person. You're just a bot, and you're trying to start a relationship of some sort, and I'm not having it. Alex, I'm going to take a phone call.
Oh, yeah, sure. Do we have a call right now?
We have a call, but go ahead and say what you want to say.
Oh, okay. Well, look, I was just going to say, I think the sleepwalking subject is more interesting.
How did we get into this?
Talk about this too, but I wanted to mention that there have been quite a few cases where defendants have tried to avoid criminal liability by claiming that they were sleepwalking when they committed the crime.
See, that I believe. I believe people claim they sleepwalk a lot, but I was just wondering how many people actually sleepwalk.
And some of these cases are successful. You know, the sleepwalking defense, it doesn't fail all the time. There was a case in the 19th century of a guy who, I think, was in Massachusetts. He slit the throat of a prostitute
in his sleep. That's what he wanted people to believe.
Yeah, he slit the throat of the prostitute in a brothel, and then set fire to the brothel, invoked the sleepwalking defense, and was found not guilty.
You know, even if you're sleepwalking, okay, you know, we don't have time for this, but we've really opened up the Pandora's
box. Only lawyers know these cases, I swear.
Let's eat before going to bed.
Let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Speak up. You sure there's somebody there? Well, there's nobody. Well, last chance. Well, okay. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. 802-321-HACK. Please give us a call.
Someone's sleepwalking.
I thought it was a phone call.
Well, I heard it ring, and I just saw a caller ID go by, too. So somebody
I saw the caller ID.
You saw the caller ID from all the way in Queens?
Yeah, she's checking.
Wow. Okay, well, now we're getting a call.
All right,
see, there's the caller ID.
Second attempt.
This call's from England, believe the caller ID. Go ahead. This call, we believe, is from England. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Whoa, and it's a loud person, too. Great. Where in England are you calling from? Or UK?
I'm calling from London.
Okay, we've heard of that. That's great. What's on your mind tonight?
I was just wondering about the radar on the device in the bedroom.
Okay. Well, we're not experts on this, but go ahead and ask your question.
No, it's just if I got a speeding ticket, I would pay the money.
Uh-huh.
All right. That was a great call.
Is it over, or are we still there?
No, I was waiting for the response, basically. It's all about timing, comedy.
Yeah, no, that was brilliant.
But,
well done.
It's been a while since I phoned up. This is Zap from London. I thought I'd phone up and say hello to you, everyone.
It's Zap. How you doing, Zap?
Oh, it's Zap. How are you?
Yeah, surviving. Yeah, not too bad.
How is the country dealing with the loss of Euro 2020?
Well, I don't know if you heard, but there was riots, there was smashing of bottles, people were putting flares up orifices in their body.
So no reaction, nothing unusual at all then?
This is pandemonium, and this is before we lost.
Yeah, there was going to be a riot if you won, there was going to be a riot if you lost, we all knew that. The racism was terrible, but again, we saw it coming, right?
Yep, I mean, things have changed a little bit. The country is going a bit crazy, mm-hmm. especially after Brexit. We survived more or less. There has been no shortages of food.
You guys went through Brexit. You went through Brexit and the pandemic basically at the same time.
Yeah, it was like they were distracting us with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I can't imagine.
Yeah,
can't imagine what it's
like. Apart from that, more or less everything's all right, really.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that is on my mind is the meetings.
Yes.
Going to a meeting. We're trying to get the London meeting sorted out. And after 28 years, we're going to sort of swap or change the starting venue is the plan.
Okay.
And move it somewhere else. We're still in discussions about where it's going to be. And, of course, we're not actually coming out of a full lockdown until Monday the 19th of July. So the earliest we could do it would probably be in August if our percentages on the vaccines are up.
Yeah, that's the next meeting anyway, would be in August. Last we checked, you guys weren't above 40%, but I think you might be above 40% now. Is that true?
I think we are now, because I think we were 39 on the second jab, and I think we had 60 on the first one. So we were just under, so we couldn't do an official meeting, even though we had a renegade meeting. people that had been vaccinated decided to meet in a pub, and you can't stop people from doing things, because that's not how a meeting works. But the official meeting was actually held online.
Okay, all right. We had our first meetings since the pandemic began this month in July in a limited number of places in the States. But we're looking, as always, to expand to other places that have reached a safe level and where you can gather in person.
I unfortunately won't be.
Yeah. Now, I see you're at 52.2% right now, according to the stats I'm looking at. So, yeah, you guys are fine, according to this.
Yeah, I think the other people will be fine. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go again because I'm not vaccinated and I'm not planning to get vaccinated due to reasons, more medical, really.
Okay. Well, have you talked to a doctor that agrees with your assessment so that you know you're making the right decision?
I have to have mentioned it to my doctor to say this is my decision, and he said it's up to the individual.
Okay.
But you've asked people that are not vaccinated not really to attend, and I'd like to follow that because it is important that everyone does that.
Right.
Unfortunately, because we meet in a bar, we can't guarantee that everyone in there is going to be vaccinated.
Right.
So people are aware of the dangers, and it has to be made clear. The one thing we do is we do a mid-month meeting, and maybe I might be able to go to a mid-month because that's held on a Saturday and it's in a bar and it's not official.
Okay, well, just be safe, whatever you do. Appreciate the honesty, you got to make sure you look out for yourself and make the right decision and let others know so that there's no misunderstandings or anything.
And not only yourself, but you must be aware of your family members. You are putting them at risk if you are attending meetings without being vaccinated.
Of course, yeah.
Even public transport. And from the 19th, I believe you don't have to wear masks in the general public. Luckily, our mayor has had the sense to say that you need to wear a mask on public transport. So you still will have to wear a mask on public transport. That's the tube, the buses, and trains, I assume.
Okay, so did he override? Did he override Boris Johnson, or was that always the policy?
No, I think he's overridden it, because I think Boris Johnson has said that you don't have to wear a mask if you don't want to. I'm not too sure what the shops and retail are going to do, because there's a lot of people that have been ignoring those kind of rules for quite some time anyway.
Yeah, we've had the same problem.
And then you get the protests, which is just basically a spreader of the disease, because they're saying we're in full lockdown. No, we're not. We can do more or less what we want to do. You just need to be sensible. Unfortunately, as you saw on Monday with the soccer, there's a lot of English people that are not very sensible.
Well, we are familiar with people like that. And I think they all have the same basic agenda, which I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that it's, for me, it's medical reasons. I know one other hacker who's old school who is not going to take the vaccine for his own reasons. Mm-hmm. I think with the Pfizer here, you have to have double jab, and they're talking about doing a booster shot come the autumn, like they do the flu shot.
Yeah.
So that will be three injections. Other people are more or less still on their first one because they did it by age. Now, I'm old, so I was near the top of the list, whereas a lot of our younger attendees are in their 20s, have only recently been offered the vaccine, so they've only got their first one, and everyone really wants to go to a meeting. And I've said, look, the rules state that you need to get double jabbed to go if it's going to be 100% kosher. So, you know, people are complaining, but you can't. It's like herding cats. I was trying to do the July meeting, trying to get the input. And you can't. We're hackers. We find ways to break the rules. And it's like, you're not allowed to ask. You're not allowed to police it. So it's like, look, just assume everyone's got not been jabbed. It's got the corona. And that way, you'll just take precautions and your threat assessment will work and just enjoy and try and get on with life again, really.
Yeah. Now, you said it very well. And there are precautions to take, even if you are not vaccinated. that, you know, you don't have to be shut in or anything like that. And, you know, keep an eye on what's going on in the world. Follow the science and act accordingly based on the situations.
Yep. Yeah, it's the best thing to do, really, to try to keep on top of it. But anyway, just before you go,
yes.
Apparently, at the Hope Conference last year, I was at the talent show, I think the second one, and apparently everyone that entered got some kind of prize or swag or something, and I never heard back, even though I was on it, even if I didn't do anything, I just said hello. I'm just wondering what happened to my swag.
I don't remember what exactly we offered to whom, but I can certainly look into that because I'm sure it was sent if you were promised something, but we can see if it was or if it was returned or something like that. But email us.
I didn't give my address, so I don't know.
You have to give the address. How are they going to admit it if you didn't give the address?
Well, it was done on Matrix. Some guy asked, said, get your emails, and I gave my email. I think it was on the Matrix system.
Okay.
And I never heard anything. But I get a lot of spam, and you know, everything comes in there because I have to run 2600 and a few other things. So all the information comes into my account, and then some of you know what it is. And basically, I don't know if I missed it or whatever, but I never heard anything. I tried reaching out on Twitter. Never heard anything. Reached out to Jason Scott and basically said, get in touch with 2600. So I thought, just while I'm on the phone, I'll have a little niggle. You know,
send us a reminder, oth@2600.com, and we'll definitely follow up on that. Because Twitter is not the best way to get a hold of people. We miss a lot of things on Twitter. But email almost always gets through.
And there's nothing we hate to see more than Zap being swagless.
Yeah, absolutely. You deserve it more than anybody.
Oh, come on, guys. You sorted me out in the past, and I've sorted you out in the past.
You gave us a lot of UK souvenirs that we still use on a daily basis.
2012, I remember it. But to say, I get my subscription, which I'm very, very thankful for, so I don't really need anything. I just want to moan because I'm English, and that's what the English do. We moan.
And you whinge, right? You whinge.
Yeah, that's right. We win. Whinging Poms is what the Australians call us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway,
well, happy to have
talking you. To you guys. I'll let you go.
Great hearing from you.
Callers in, and I'll be in touch. And you know me, I'll always stay informed with you guys and let you know what's happening.
All right. Hope to see you again soon.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Our friend Zap from London. Good to hear from him. Really good to hear from
him. Hey, sounds well.
Yeah. Our phone number, 802-321-4225. If anyone else is out there wants to speak to us in our remaining minutes. Again, we're not on next week. We'll be on in 2 weeks with another exciting edition of Off the Hook and Off the Hook Overtime. You can write to us, oth@2600.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Hacker Radio Show. Any other points of contact we want to share with people as long as we're doing that? No? That's it?
If you see one of us on the street, give us a nice friendly wave.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a phone call. Did we pick up? Okay. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Can you hear me?
We hear you fine.
Okay. My name is Philip. I'm from Missouri. I called you a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Well, I was listening in. I kind of got in late on the conversation, but while you were talking about the... talking about Amazon and the Echoes and everything.
Uh-huh.
Why isn't there an open source project on this? I mean, all it would take was like a Raspberry Pi and like, you know, some libraries of Python, right? To be able to do voice recognition.
Well, are we sure that there aren't projects?
Well, I'll keep looking through my repository because I've been wanting to fiddle around with it on my Linux distro, and I can't find it anywhere.
Uh-huh. Rob, do you know something, Rob?
The voice processing is something that's really hard to do locally. Amazon's power with Alexa is that it's all cloud-based, and they can put their massive amounts of computing power behind the AI that generates the voice. But there is a project called Mycroft. That's like Sherlock's brother, Mycroft, mycroft.ai is the website that you can go to get more information on that. And it's been making leaps and bounds. And, you know, I've every so often I check in on it because I'm really interested to see if they get anywhere. And I would like to see it grow into something that is as easily usable as the Amazon version.
I think if they make the hardware and their platform so undesirable that people will want to jailbreak their Alexa to move on to these other systems.
I want to do that right now.
Just take the hardware. Can you imagine people that they're just so unhappy with what the manufacturer's providing, they just abandon, like, free it and sideload something that works on a different network?
Well, as a guy who keeps getting abducted by aliens at night, I welcome the opportunity to be able to set up a system where I can detect intruder aliens coming through my wall. I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, no, we took you seriously. But, you know, alien abduction, that's a serious issue these days.
And the radar. That's where the radar. Figure that out. Get that library going.
Anything else, caller? Anything else you want to share with us?
That's something else. This UFO thing with Congress, right?
Yeah.
Now, I saw that half of the money went to a guy named Bigelow, who runs Bigelow Aerospace, right?
Yes.
Well, he owns this place called Skinwalker Ranch out in Utah, I'm sorry. And I just think it's really disingenuous for us to waste taxpayer money on this stuff, when it could be used for something, you know, realistic, like, you know, helping out the needy or something like that. I mean, nobody, half of these right-wingers don't have a problem with paying millions of dollars to see if there's a green alien, like, hanging out around an aircraft carrier, which is most likely just an out-of-focus infrared camera, which has been proven time and time again from, you know, people debunking it just on YouTube. But, you know, it just seems odd that we are so caught up in the weird stuff and we can't just kind of focus on what's really going on around us.
Yeah, I think that's true. There's the resurgence of it, I think, has been in part due to the suspicion that maybe the more logical answer is that there is an explanation, and it's a lot more near Earth, and so that hysteria, to a degree, I think, has fueled it.
Is it right wingers though? They're mostly interested in aliens. I didn't know it was a right wing left thing. I thought that might be one of the few things that wasn't.
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, these guys are just totally off the wall about things. Anyway, it's just they'll buy into aliens, like, you know, trying to circumvent our defense structure, but, you know, having a boat that is legit and everything, you know, that's a bridge too far, because, you know, it can't possibly happen because poor Trump got his butt kicked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely related, I suppose. Hey, we're almost at the end of the show. Any concluding remarks?
I just want to see some more open source projects with something like an Echo or something like that.
Yeah, that would be great.
I bought one of those little cheap things from a micro center.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to use Amazon stuff to be able to run it, and you have to use a push button on it. You can't even use the voice part of it because, you know, I guess they don't want that feature out there for free.
Well, actually, we had one like that where you had to push the button, and then they just introduced a feature that allowed you to bypass that. So check your settings, your account. You might be able to get past pushing the button.
Okay. What do you think about the about Apple, like, cracking down on this Hackintosh stuff? I mean, we can build a car, you know, part for part without, you know, Ford or somebody bugging us about it. But if you do the same thing with, you know, stuff that you collect on your own, parts to build something like a Macintosh, here comes Apple knocking on your door, threatening to sue you.
Well, Apple has always been Apple, and this doesn't surprise me at all. That's how they run their business.
Yeah, they really cling to that control of the hardware and down vertically through to software and the end user and customers, and they want to curate that process at every step.
And way too many of their customers buy into it. They keep buying the same products over and over again. You know, people who have iPhones have bought of them or six of them or more over the years, and it's just, you know, how do you argue with that?
My iPad doesn't want to install any new software anymore because it's, you know, cool, out of date.
Yeah, you gotta get a new one.
But they won't.
It's built in. It's built in. What won't we call it? Well, you know what I'm talking about. It's just built in obsolescence.
Yes, that's what it is.
It shouldn't be around.
Uh-huh. Planned obsolescence. There's a fantastic book about this called Made to Break, and it goes into how through history this has been repeatedly been a part of business and up to and including geopolitics and various forms of sabotage, kind of a lot of like what we've been talking to with some of the ransomware and physical infrastructure.
I bought a copy of that book, but then the text stopped being readable and I have to buy it again. Now imagine if that was happening. You wouldn't tolerate that,
well,
right?
I bought like a game off of iTunes back in like 2003 or something like that. Just something to watch on my computer one night.
Uh-huh.
And a few years later, I couldn't use it anymore because they stopped serving it or whatever, or they have some new thing with it, and they asked me to buy it again. I was like, nope.
No, you should never buy the same thing.
Yeah,
twice. Kyle, you found the book.
Yeah, this is one. I should like put together a list of stuff. But when we used to travel, I started grabbing books from our collection. People give us.
Wait, you make that sound so sad. When we used to travel,
like, well, I was being a little jokey there, but uh-huh. No, I had a pretty good list of things I was reading, and this is one of the first ones I grabbed from the office, and it's by Giles Slade. But people give us technology stuff, and over the years, and there's an enormous backlog of things we want to read and travel.
We have a whole room of stuff.
So this
have
is
like a 2,600 book readers club.
Yeah, we should put lists out because I had a pretty good list going of
put it in the magazine.
We have book reviews in the magazine. We have lots of them.
That's a new feature. Yeah, but you're right. Lists of stuff people have been enjoying, but it's great insight. And that is so true.
Bruce Sterling releases stuff all the time and so fine.
Absolutely, yes.
For free on the internet.
Uh-huh. Well, he has a long tradition of that. Hey, listen, we got to run. We're in overtime on overtime. So thanks again for your call. Thanks for your support. We hope to talk to you again.
Okay, hopefully next Wednesday, why not?
Not next Wednesday. We're not on next Wednesday, but in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. That'd be fun.
All right.
Hopefully I can call you back again and whatnot.
Yes,
I like
definitely.
Talking to you guys.
All right. Well, we're here. All right.
All right.
Take care.
All right, bye.
And again, you can write to us, oth@2600.com, either for Off the Hook or Off the Hook Overtime. We share. And any closing thoughts from you guys? Anything you want to say before we disappear for 2 weeks?
It's warm outside. Stay cool.
Clever. Very, very nice. Kyle?
Well, you know, don't lose sight of what's important and stay positive.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's great.
Stay,
okay.
Have fun. And, be careful what you hack. And, you know, yeah, obliterate your adversaries.
There you go.
Take control. Destroy all of their data.
Build
yeah.
them up. Come on. End with a flourish.
Yeah. Yeah, because nothing, you know, what is reality anyway?
Gila.
If you or someone you love have been sleepwalking, please let us know. Share video if possible. We'd love to see it.
Yeah, if there's a sleepwalker like alliance or something, there's got to be. You know, I don't mean to make light of any of this. Just this is my ignorance. I don't know anything about it, and I just thought it was a TV device that was. But I'm sorry if I offended any sleepwalkers out there. Alex, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, if you have been sleepwalking and you have committed a crime, call me if you need a lawyer.
You specialize in sleepwalking cases, right? I can hardly wait to see this on TV at 3 in the morning. Are you a sleepwalker? We can help. Call 1-800 whatever. Okay, great. My closing thoughts, stay healthy, stay happy, be obnoxious, be alert, share your information, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Good night.